fans on hand due to the rioting in Baltimore the last couple of days. So an empty house, but not empty as far as the offense goes for the Orioles. They lead it by a score of 8-2 over the White Sox. Now in the bottom of the eighth, and Baltimore got going early with six in the first. A three-run homer for Chris Davis. Manny Machado has also gone deep today, his fourth of the season. Top of the eighth, plenty of home runs in Minnesota. The Twins and Tigers are tied at seven. Miguel Cabrera, part of the comeback for the Tigers with his fourth home run. J.D. Martinez has hit his sixth. Top of the 11th now in New York. The Yankees and Rays are even at two. And for the National League, Milwaukee defeated Cincinnati by a score of 8-3 as Ryan Braun homered twice, numbers 3 and 4. Top of the second in San Diego, the Padres off to a 1-0 start over the Astros, who have won 5 in a row. The Thunder have reportedly targeted Billy Donovan to fill their coaching vacancy and have entered into discussions with the Florida head coach. Two games on the playoff schedule tonight in the NBA. The Hawks host the Nets. The top seed in the East left Atlanta in control and returned with the series even, but head coach Mike Budenholzer hasn't lost any confidence in his team.
In this situation, in this time, you know, it's important when you get an advantage or you get an opportunity that you take advantage of it. You know, it's a great challenge for us to go back home, and it's the playoffs. This is it's what it's all about.
The Grizzlies host the Blazers up 3-1. A grand jury today cleared ex-Louisville basketball player Chris Jones and two others of rape. There's one game in the NHL tonight, Game 7 between the Red Wings and Lightning in Tampa. I'm Rich Ackerman.
We've got the NFL draft covered as Gio and Jones host a special draft show tomorrow night at 8 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Ziner with your community calendar, brought to you by GroundShuttle.com. The Diary of Anne Frank will be performed at Stage Center Theater tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. Go to StageCenter.net for tickets and more information. The Texas Community Futures Forum is tomorrow from 5:30 to 7 at the Navasota Center Bluebonnet Room. RSVP and find out more about this event by calling 979-873-3907. 211 Texas and United Way invite you to Outback Steakhouse for a profit share luncheon on Friday from 11 to 2. To find out more, call Missy Mora at 696-4483. The Brazos Valley Museum of Natural History's exhibit Inuit, The Art of Survival, has been extended through June 27th. GroundShuttle.com offers frequent and reliable shuttles between Bryan College Station and both Houston airports. Commute in comfort with luxury shuttles with reclining seats, power outlets, and Wi-Fi coming soon. GroundShuttle.com, let us do the driving. Today, sunny and 73, tonight mostly clear and 53. The Zone Shootout is back, and you're invited to grab a friend and head out to the Travis Bryan Municipal Golf Course each Wednesday evening. For more information, visit the events section at zone1150.com.
It's back, and it's bigger than ever. It's Steel Dealer Days. The best time of the year to find great values on steel equipment. Steel trimmers start at just $129.95. Blowers start at just $149.95. And steel chainsaws start at just $179.95. Head to your local steel dealer now for the big event.
Steel Dealer Days.
Visit SteelDealers.com to find a dealer near you. Available at participating dealers. All prices MSRP.
Your mom was right. Milk is good for you. As a matter of fact, drinking milk builds strong bones and healthy bodies. Plus, milk is one of our country's safest foods. I'm Lacey Sublett, and our family has been milking cows for more than 30 years. Our family works with the cows day in and day out to make sure they are comfortable and well-fed. As every dairy farmer knows, healthy cows produce the best milk. Learn more about our dedication to cow care at dairymax.org.
Howdy, my name is Megan Morris, fiance of Aggie football offensive coordinator Jake Spavital. Mark your calendars for the Bryan College Station March for Babies on Sunday, May 3rd at Research Park. Take part in the walk that saves babies from premature birth and birth defects. They'll be the easiest steps you and your family will ever take, and you'll have fun too. Join the millions of people who participate to support March of Dimes research and programs to give babies in our community a healthy start in life. Register today at marchforbabies.org. March for Babies is locally sponsored by the College Station Medical Center.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com.
If you can't watch your favorite Aggie teams play,
listen to them on News Talk 1620 and Sports Radio 1150.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Welcome back. I was almost successful. I was attempting to make a paper airplane during the break, and it didn't go as well as I had hoped, Krim.
Yeah, I saw that.
But such is life. Welcome back. Second hour, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Richard Krim, brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all of the events of the new season, the season dreams are made of, at mscopus.org. Lots of good stuff. Great information there. Again, mscopus.org. You can call us 693-1150. Text us 229-1939. Crew, we got a lot of weird news. It's kind of a week of weird news. There's been a lot of odd things. But yesterday, and that already got taken down, but there was a coach that tweeted that he was at the IMG Academy and got tagged by the NCAA for breaking the bump rule. You know, if you run into a recruit, you can only kind of say hi to him, then you got to keep moving at these kind of things. He claimed that there were NCAA agents, people undercover at these events, sneaking around, creeping. As a master of creeping, I thought you could have some input on there. But then it comes out today, maybe there's not NCAA spies.
Yeah, see.
It's a little,
just like me,
it's a little disappointing.
There's not any
the thought that
reason.
The NCAA was paying people to creep around these events and try to see if people were violating the bump rule of all things. If you don't know the bump rule, basically, like I said, it's if you run into a recruit or their family, if a head coach does, they can't talk to them. They can kind of only say hi, and then they can bump into them, basically. They can't have a whole conversation. That's kind of how the rule goes. The thought that the NCAA was out there doing this kind of made me a little bit happy, because at least they'd be doing something, but they're not. The NCAA says they don't have secret undercover people out at events, Krim. So, sad day. I was a little disappointed by that. You have no
I have
thoughts
no,
on
yeah,
that.
I have no thoughts on that.
Zero thoughts.
It's so insignificant. It's
no.
Such a small thing.
But
it's a small matter, as one of my old friends used to say.
Yeah, but that's the NCAA's out there trying to make moves, Krim, doing something. But apparently they're not. Also in the news today, the ESPN Browns reporter says the Browns have offered their top two picks to the Titans for their number two pick in the hopes of going up to get Marcus Mariota. The Titans reporter says this hasn't happened. So we're not really sure if it's happened or not, Krum, but yesterday we talked a little bit about
this
draft.
Does make for interesting conversation.
Well, and around here, because if they really do that, it's kind of the end of the Johnny Manziel era. I mean, you're saying that, hey, this isn't going to work out. We're willing to deal two other players that we need in order to go up and get Mariota, who, you know, whatever you think of him aside. We talked about this yesterday, though. Trading up in the draft seems to almost never work out. I mean,
I always think that I don't say never works out. You get you always seem to get his player, but when you're giving up two and three good players for that one player, I always think that the team that gets the multiple picks or whatever does make out the best.
Well, and especially if it's a quarterback. Now, we're not talking about if you pick 28th and you jump up to 19th to grab the defensive end you want and you give up a fifth-round pick. No one cares about that.
Right.
We're talking giving up two, three picks to go up and get one of these guys at the top of the draft. It just doesn't seem to work out that often to me. And then I talked about this yesterday, so I don't want to go all the way into it again. But quite frankly, I don't think Marcus Mariota is worth the top 10 pick, much less your two top picks. I'm not a big fan of any of the quarterbacks in this one. I mean, I think they're okay. I think they'll play in the league a while. I don't think they're definite bust material. I just don't think they're
going to. I don't think, again, you know, we kind of said it last year. It was sad to see Johnny go to Cleveland. I think that you could, if you were a Marcus Mariota fan, you might say the same thing.
This is why I'm so confused by this, is why if Cleveland is going to mortgage the franchise, why would it be for a quarterback who is
very similar
mm-hmm. to Johnny Manziel? Now, maybe you think Johnny Manziel's only problem is the the fact that the off-the-field issues. Now, if that's the case, you think he's perfectly fine on the field. You just wish you had a Johnny Manziel that had it together off the field. Then maybe you do go after Mariota. But that doesn't seem to be the case.
Yeah, but would you also do that after just 1 year with
that's
Johnny Manziel?
That's why I'm saying. The whole thing is weird.
I mean,
I just don't get it.
Plus, I mean, even if you waited a year or a couple years, at least then the fan base wouldn't just jump all over it like that.
Well, and let's face it, if the Browns do anything, it's never surprising.
Or I mean, it's rarely good.
Yeah, it's rarely good, and it's rarely surprising. This wouldn't be shocking to any of us if they do try to go up and get Mariota. But it just seems like an odd play. The other odd end of this, though, is if the Titans accept a trade, it kind of seems to say that, hey, we're kind of on the Zach Mettenberger wagon down here in Tennessee.
I heard someone talking about that where they felt like they wished the Titans would just kind of like say, hey, Zach Mettenberger's our guy. Then we can go out and get a couple quality, you know, players to help him.
That's why it's weird both ways. To me, there's no way the Titans are all in on Zach Mettenberger. And there's no way that the Browns want to go all in on Marcus Mariota.
I'd still give Zach Mettenberger a chance, though.
If I had an average team, now if I was built like the Eagles, if I was a spread team, but if I'm an average NFL team, I'd rather have Mettenberger than Mariota. I think he's got a better arm.
Well, yeah, he's got a better arm than...
Yeah.
I don't know what percent, but it's a very good percent of the NFL quarterbacks at the end of last year.
That's my hot take of the day, Kroom. I'd rather have Mettenberger than Mariota.
You need to save those for like the very end of the show. I mean, you don't want to get rid of your hot take of the day.
Well, early. It's already out there.
Oh, okay.
I don't have too many hot takes this time of year. Sometimes there's just so many flying around that everyone needs some cool takes. That's kind of my deal.
You need to chill for a day or two.
Well, that's kind of my thing on the Florida job. It's like I don't have any real. I don't know where it is for sure. They might hire.
You don't have the definitive answer.
I don't have an opinion on it strong enough to say that, yes, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, or
quite like
what
I
should
do,
happen.
Quite like I do on Mariota and Winston.
Winston.
I don't know. I don't know. Whatever.
It would be interesting. You know what? Maybe I just don't watch TV as much, but and maybe it's because, you know, we don't have the Johnny thing going on, but I haven't gotten just totally sick of the NFL, you know, what's going to happen in the NFL draft this year as I did last year. Last year, I just felt like I was inundated with.
Well, that's, yeah, because there was not just Manziel, but also Matthews and Evans and all that stuff. I'm not a huge, the thing I get tired of.
I guess what I was saying, though, is I'm looking forward to the draft because.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff when I'm watching the draft will be new to me because I won't have seen it like 40 times beforehand.
One thing I'm a little over, and it's because I get tired of, like, it's because we work in news and then you just, you know, news, it's just one big cycle, is I hate news about news. This is a thing that we've talked about a little bit. And I hate reporting about things about yourself that aren't actual news. You know, an example is the other day on ESPN2, and the only reason I was watching this is it was on before the A&M LSU baseball game. They had what are their two guys? The guy with the hair, Kuiper, and then
McShay,
where they did a live mock draft on ESPN2, and then on ESPN, they were talking about the mock draft they were doing on ESPN2. So this is like, now granted, it's all, that's inside your own, that's synergy in your own newsroom, I guess. But right. I just get tired of the mock drafts. The mock draft thing, that's the thing I hate.
That's what I'm saying, and I got really tired of it last year, and I didn't feel like I got as tired of it this year. Maybe I just learned to put it aside as soon as I saw it, so I never got tired of it.
Well, a player ranking, I'm all about.
Just didn't do it,
you know,
as
who are
sure.
your top 15 corners? Oh, whatever, I can get on board with that. It's just, you know, you're building a pyramid of, you know, of unknowns. And a mock draft is fine if you're a fan of the Titans, or, you know, if you have the third pick, the fourth pick, even the fifth pick. But, you know, it's these mock drafts, and then you have a report of, like, so-and-so's mock draft has the Cowboys picking whoever it picked, 20, whatever they pick. And you're like, there's no way to know what's even going to be.
Because by that time, there's probably been four trades, and it's changed the whole picture.
We've all even lost it by then. By the way, another report today that is interesting and A&M related. the Bears are listening to offers for tight end Martellus Bennett. And one of the things that floated out in this report, according to sources, this was another thing I saw on ESPN, it might have been on the Chicago blog thing. There was almost a deal to send Martellus to Seattle. But then they
hook up with his brother?
Yeah, but instead they got the deal with Jimmy Graham from the Saints.
Right.
But they almost thought that would have been fun. If they could have got the Bennett brothers back in together, plus Martellus playing for the other 12th man would have been classic. You know, all of that would have been awesome. But there is some whispers out there. They're listening. Because he's saying, unless he gets an extension, he's got 1 year left on his deal. He's saying, look, I need something or I'm not coming in. So we'll see. No, you rolled your eyes, Graham.
Well, I just don't think Martellus has had a good enough pro career to sit there and demand
things. He was like the best tight end of the league last year. You mean like lead tight ends in yards and catches or something?
I still say he did have a good year last year. I'm going to admit that. But, I mean, I just don't think he – I mean, obviously, his brother's better than he is.
Well
– he's not even the best Bennett, let alone the best – guy out, free agent
that's,
out there.
Yeah, but that's like saying if Andrew Luck had a younger brother who was really good, he may not be that good, but he's still good. You know, or like Eli Manning. He may not be the best Manning, but, you know, whatever. But he's
I guess how long has Martell's been in the league now? I guess, you know, like when you get to that age, you want that one last contract at least.
Well, yeah, and people forget he has been in the league a while.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
Six years now?
If he gets a 4 or 5 year contract, that might be it for him, period.
Plus, you know, he's got a strike. Well, this is as hot as the iron could get, probably
after
right now.
After last year,
yeah. Right now, he's probably not really the best tight end in the league.
No,
he had the best numbers, but I think he had the most catches, is what it was last year. But you know, I would Graham Gronk, but then he's there.
Yeah. You talk to Cowboys fans about whether or not they like Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, but he wasn't the same player for the Cowboys. Yeah. He's been awesome for the Bears. Yeah. Who knows? But we'll see if they can. If Martellus ends up somewhere else, I kind of like him.
I shouldn't diss Martellus because I love Martellus. I thought he was great when he was here.
And he's
fun.
We talked about this yesterday when I was telling people about the Breck Shea story to read. He was one of those athletes that people flock to because he'll just say whatever's on his mind.
Yeah.
He doesn't really care. Him and his brother are both like that.
Yeah,
they're like they don't put on a facade for the media. If it's in their head, it's coming out. If you ask the right question, so. Right.
And he's funny and clever. I mean, it's not just he's saying whatever he wants.
Well, he's also real smart,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's not what he's just saying whatever he wants. He's clever with it.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. Let's go to break. When we come back, the days of the 35-second shot clock could be numbered, Kroom.
Good.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done, and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norman G. Tractor. At Norman G. Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Norman G. Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with a $300 factory rebate, $700 implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price $18,895 or $247 per month. Norman G. Tractor asks you why buy used when you can buy used with prices and payments as low as these. Norman G. Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor, so now is the time to make the drive to Norman G. Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002, remember to shop the internet specials too at normangtractor.com. Norman G. Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas, and remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor.
Come stand with the 12th man at all Texas A&M athletic events. You make a difference for our student-athletes in our venues. Tickets are available at 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com/tickets. Thanks and gig 'em. Aggie fans, Texas A&M Athletics is always just a few clicks away on your digital device. Stay connected by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit 12thman.com/social media for a complete social media directory.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
Double the Bellucci Hour and you double the fun. So twice a week, have lunch at the Tap from noon to 1 with Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of TexAgs Radio. Billy and Bryce have the answers to all your recruiting questions and everything else you need to know to get in the know for Aggie football. The 2015 offseason doesn't feel half as long with a Bellucci Hour lunch. Brought to you in part by Stephen Gastitis, attorney at law. Don't miss the Bellucci Hour every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
When the Yankees play football, basketball, baseball, and softball,
they play on your flagship stations. News Talk 1620 and Sports Radio 1150.
Forgive the kids, for they don't know how to live. Run the alleys casually. Crew.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Richard Kroom. Kroom, we got an update here on this.
Emoji update.
The emoji guy has been fired by the Rockets.
Wow.
Chad Shanks, apparently, is his name. Poor guy. That's absurd.
So if you're into emojis, there's an opening.
Well, you don't want to be into emojis, apparently. If you're emoji-less, Kroom, you could be. Apparently, the Rockets are looking for a social media manager with a sense of humor like Kroom's. That doesn't. Who's never heard of emojis?
Yeah, but I'm the one that said that.
Yeah, but you've never heard of emojis.
That doesn't mean I don't have a sense of humor.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, fair enough. But someone that hasn't heard of emojis, apparently, that's ridiculous. That's one of the dumbest firings I've ever heard. There's been some dumb firings in the world. Someone texted that they would love to see Martellus in Cleveland or Miami catching passes from Johnny or Tannehill. I think you want him in Miami then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because
best bet would be Miami.
Yeah, yeah, at least.
Didn't they just get a tight end, Miami? I think they did. I can't remember. Well, remember,
yeah, I thought they did
Tannehill,
too, but now I can't remember.
Remember them saying Tannehill got a somebody else to throw to.
So that's going on. Also, the I'm sure Kelly will talk about this, or Darren, whoever's in the news part later on, will talk about this. They went ahead and went with the block ATM and the seal today, Kareem. That was some big Board of Regents news, mm-hmm. looking at the seals. So, got that going on. All right, this was brought out. I saw this on CBS. Sounds like they're going to go ahead and move to the 30-second shot clock. Maybe as early as next year, Kroom, in college basketball. And I have mixed feelings on this because we watched a few 30-second games in the NIT, and I think this is a short solution. I think it's not a bad – I don't think it's a bad idea.
Well, it's a five-second shorter
But I solution. Don't think it fit – I don't think it fixes the biggest problem in college basketball, which is all the grabbing and holding and stuff they don't call away from the ball.
The stuff that kind of –
Yeah.
Takes away the pretty stuff from the game.
Well, and now what you're going to have is instead of 35 seconds of bad basketball, you're going to have 30 seconds of bad basketball. I mean, it's going to be, if you don't make some other changes along with this, you don't really fix the problem. The problem isn't that scoring is down. The problem is that it's hard to watch. The fact that the scoring is down is a byproduct of how bad the game itself has become. And by going to a shorter shot clock, you don't fix that. You just make it so that you've got to shoot it more.
I do think you will see it fixed a little bit, though, because I think you'll see teams be more open, almost because they're forced to be, you know, maybe, you know, more a little more transition basketball than what we've seen in college lately. And that's where I think it's going to help. But also just the fact that you know, you I got to admit, I got tired once in a while. You know, you sit there and you watch, you just watch the ball go around the 3 second arc for, you know, 25 seconds, you know, after they've got the ball up court, and then finally someone
throws
it up there because they know it's getting close.
Well, and that's what's going to happen but now. It's just going to happen 5 seconds quicker.
But I think because they're going to the 30-second clock, coaches will react to that by trying to be a little bit more transition basketball. I think if you're also – the other thing I think about that is I think you'll see fewer upsets because of that, because there's more possessions. And the more possessions there are in a game, the more likelihood that the better team is going to win.
Right. That you'll certainly see. It'll affect that a little bit. And like you said, the possession numbers are going to go up, obviously. That's the end of this.
Yeah.
But to me, this is a half measure. I mean, it stops short of what the real problem is. I would like see a bigger restricted area. I'd like to see them call more off-ball fouls, grabbing in the lane, stuff like that. Drives me nuts. I wouldn't be opposed to a defensive 3 seconds rule like they have in the NBA in college basketball, because one thing you've seen is these huge teams go into these zones, and even A&M did it at times last year. They go into a zone, and they have a guy just camp out in the middle, which in – you know, that's fine. I'm not saying it's anything against the rules. If I coached a team, I would definitely run a matchup zone right now. It's the way to do it. But it's just not fun to watch.
I think the 30-second clock, though, will take some of that at least.
See, I
just, I've always said, and I've said it for a long time, I think that was the only thing, the thing I liked most about the women's basketball over men's was that they had a 30-second clock.
Yeah.
And I think 30 seconds is good. I mean, if they went any less, then it would get – I mean, if they went to NBA style, then – yeah, that you're not as talented as the NBA, so you're not putting up shots. You can't, you know, those guys can just get the ball and go one on one and shoot it before the 24-second clock easily.
I just think it doesn't go. If this is the only rule change, it doesn't go far enough, because you're just going to end up with more bad basketball. Instead of, I don't know the exact numbers, but instead of 80 possessions of bad basketball, you're going to have 90 possessions of bad basketball. If, you know, in fact, I think this helps the defense in some ways. I don't think field goal percentage is going to go up because of this. In fact, I bet it goes down. I bet you get more bad shots. So, we'll see. I don't know, Krum. How about the reports of Rasheed Suleiman potentially heading to Maryland? Did you see that one?
No.
Yeah, that's a potential one also. when I heard about this, I have a good friend.
Well, you know, that makes sense.
Well,
because,
yeah.
I mean, he was, Turgeon had recruited him.
I've got a good friend that covers Maryland, and I was telling him, like, yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. He if Duke wouldn't have offered, I still think he would have come to A&M. That guy loves him, some Mark Turgeon, so that wouldn't surprise me much.
Yeah,
but do you think the 30-second thing would be good for A&M? I mean, if it is in place next year, I have a hard time believing they could get this in place by next year. But if they do,
I think if it's in place next year, I think it's good for A&M, because, like I said, I think it helps the better teams. I think A&M is going to be one of the better teams next year.
I think it helps defensive teams a little bit. I mean, A&M did a good job of forcing their opponents up against the shot clock. If they've got even less time to defend, I think that helps them a little bit. Plus, A&M has a guy and potentially two, because I thought Jalen Jones was pretty good at this too. Daniel House might be as good of an end of the shot clock offensive player as there is. I mean, he just rises up and shoots and sends to make it. So I think it could help A&M a little bit next year. Like, to me, this is a quick turnaround on a rule change, but that's what the report is. So I don't know. You think it helps them, you said?
I think it will help them next year. Like I said, I think it helps good. I think it helps the better teams.
The other thing, we talked about this a while back, and I don't know if you've been here since we did this, but if Billy Donovan leaves, that's one more thing kind of going in and was waiting for next year.
Yeah, there's another team out of the way at least for a year.
I thought
you might bring that up when we were talking about it the first time.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we talked about this a little bit yesterday in the newsroom, the Anthony Collins thing, how much he helps out, and you know. I said the worst thing yesterday, and I want to get – this is getting down into hot take range, but the thing that
– which you've already done.
The thing you worry about that is, does it, you know, does it stymie the – or not stymie the development, but kind of slow the development of Alex Robinson and all.
In other words, does it take minutes away from Alex Robinson?
Yeah, because this is – that would be the only thing I'd be worried about, because you talk about losing that class next year. And we said, I think A&M fans are, for the most part, some of them at least, have a pretty good self-awareness of, is A&M ever going to be a team that puts a team in the tournament every year? Probably not. you know, over the long term. They're not going to be a Kansas or a, you know, North Carolina or a school like that. And I think the goal for A&M should be to have a team in the tournament most years and then make a run every so often. But what we talked about yesterday is if the peak of that run, if as good as you can be is only maybe the second round, then that's not quite good enough to me. And next year's team is as good as A&M's had and is going to have for quite a while. I know they've got some talent coming in, but you're not just going to replace House, Jones, and Caruso and be better than you were the next year.
The following year, they might have some talent, but who knows? If the coaches can go back to we're not experienced again.
Yeah, and if Collins comes in and he's an important part of the team, he's also gone after one year. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing I worry about a little bit with the Collins deal is does he slow down the development of Alex Robinson? Even if he doesn't, you still need some other guards anyway. But the thing is, we talked about this before, how good should A&M be next year? Pretty good. That's the thing. We keep coming back to this.
I still say they got to be top three in the SEC next year.
Yeah, and I think they've got to be close to the top 20 in the country. I mean, they don't need to be number five, but they've got to be at least a solid. I keep coming back a five seed. I think five or a solid five, maybe a top end six, because that puts you still in the top 24. But
right.
If you're saying
they need to be a Sweet 16 team, then you know you're.
Well, and that's kind of my point. I mean, for A&M fans to get behind Billy Kinney, I think they're going to be okay with kind of a cyclical team, and that's going to be kind of who they are. You know, a little bit, I'll certainly have a comparable coach, but really, take one round away of Rick Barnes. You know, he got to the Elite Eight a few times, but, you know, A&M gets the second round a few times and then the Sweet 16 every so often. I think that's pretty good for what A&M is, but the peaks have got to be peaks. I mean, you can't just barely make it on your good year, so that's not good enough. And the next year is setting up to be, like I said, as good as they're going to be for a while. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up with all the different basketball talk.
You would
talk
think that
on.
Next year he would be able to recruit, saying that he's, you know, you come in.
Well, and that's
big. We've got four guys leaving that, you know, look how many minutes that is. You've got a chance to play.
That's
after also being a good team, which is the best, you know, which is like the best of both sides there.
Well, and that's the thing we don't know yet is how are they going to recruit for 2016? I mean, how good is this class going to be to follow the one they've got? You know, that's the big variable that we don't have yet. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, time for the high school report, crew. You can get out of here. Go do whatever it is you've got to do the rest of the day. Come back with us. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone. St. Joseph Regional Health Center and the Texas A&M Health Science Center announced the groundbreaking for Mature Well Lifestyle Center today at Traditions. Construction of the two-story, 23,000-square-foot senior living center will begin this fall in the Atlas development near the HSC and Traditions. This summer's list of concrete street work in Bryan was approved unanimously by the Bryan City Council after another attempt was made to include a multi-million-dollar makeover of East Martin Luther King. Mayor Jason Bienski made the motion to accept the $3.5 million list drafted by city staff.
Just because Councilmember signs that they don't come to the council meetings and tell you it needs to be done doesn't mean it needs to be done. We take the politics out of it. That's why I go by our city staff's recommendation on these. So it's not my pet list of what needs to be done.
A divided council approved building a trail going around the former Kemp School, which a developer is turning into an office building surrounded by vacant land for future homes. Three councilmen talked about the $142,000 going towards a different trail connecting the current Kemp Carver to apartments on Sandy Point Road near the Brazos County Detention Center. When the U.S. Special Operations Team trains in Brazos County this August, they'll have company from the Texas State Guard. Governor Abbott has announced an order he's given to the Guard Commander, which you can read on our website at WTAW.com. In a news release, Abbott says the order is, quote, to ensure that Texans' safety, constitutional rights, private property rights, and civil liberties will not be infringed. The governor's announcement follows opponents saying the training is a prelude to martial law. Those involved in Jade Helm 15 will be training at the Teeks Fire Field and the Texas A&M Riverside campus. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
This is your 2015 Toyota Tundra, your castle on wheels, and in it, you rule. If you want to drive over mountains, go ahead. Through rivers, no problem. Roads, who needs roads? This truck can handle the toughest terrains, and its nav system can take you to well out of the way places and back again. So turn that key and you're off. Nothing holding you back. Free to roam the open road.
Daddy, are we almost there?
But first, a little ballet.
Yeah, sweetie. Couple more minutes.
Have your truck your way with the 2015 Toyota Tundra. With stylish design, bold exterior, comfortable interior, and latest technology, it's Texas built for today's truck driver. Right now, lease a dependable new 2015 Tundra Double Cab V8 for $349 a month for 24 months with $29.99 due at signing. Toyota, let's go places. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states, ends 5/4/15.
Double the Bellucci Hour, and you double the fun. So, twice a week, have lunch at the Tap from noon to 1 with Billy Lucci and Bryce Jones of TexAgs Radio. Billy and Bryce have the answers to all your recruiting questions and everything else you need to know to get in the know for Aggie football. The 2015 offseason doesn't feel half as long with a Bellucci Hour lunch. Brought to you in part by Stephen Gastitis, attorney at law. Don't miss the Bellucci Hour every Monday and Thursday from noon till 1 at the Tap.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
Be connected and stay informed with the Louis Belina Show. Follow at twitter.com/LouisB1150. Now it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, Larry Bowen. It's time for the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. Larry, you've gone to the reaches of our community.
Well, we are, and Aubrey, it's time for the softball playoffs. I actually saw David had put the softball pairings together. We actually have one game scheduled for tonight, which is kind of odd, but basically the playoffs hit kind of full blast tomorrow, and then Thursday and Friday there'll be a lot of high school softball playoffs. And our guest today is going to be Madisonville softball coach Bo Dees, and his team finished third in District 18-4A, and the Lady Mustangs are getting ready to play Lorena in the bi-district round of the 4A playoffs, and that game is scheduled for 6:30 Friday in Franklin. Coach, thanks for being with us. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing pretty good today. It's been quite the adventure to try to get through all this rain to finally get to practice on our field today, because the rain kept us off the grass and off the dirt Monday and Tuesday.
Well, you probably got to bless your heart. It's nice of you to squeeze us in. I'm sure you have a lot that you want to get done. The good thing is you have an extra day compared to some people, because a lot of people that are playing two or three series are going to be starting tomorrow, and you guys don't play until Friday. Coach, I'm just going to kind of ask some general dumb questions, and we'll go from there. But what's y'all's overall record, Coach?
Our overall record right now is 15-11.
Okay.
A little bit of correction what you said earlier. There was actually a three-way tie for first place. So,
okay.
Grosbeck, Fairfield, and us were all 6-2. And then within the district minutes, we had to play it out to determine the seeding for the playoffs. So there's actually a three-way tie for first place.
Wow. Okay. So how did Fairfield end up with the number one playoff seed and Grosbeck 2 and you guys 3?
Well, because of the way it was set up, we won the flip, and then Grosbeck beat Fairfield, and then we lost to Fairfield. That made Fairfield the first-place seed, and then we had to play again against Grosbeck and lost to Grosbeck. So Grosbeck was the second seed, and we came out being the third seed.
Okay. Well, Coach, tell us, I want to find out a little bit about your program. We haven't had you on the show before. Tell us how long you've been there and maybe a little bit about your background, you know, where you coached before you came to Madisonville.
This is my first year here at Madisonville. The two previous years, I was assistant softball coach in Yoakum. And then before that, I was in the trucking business for a couple of years. So I had been I was out of coaching for a couple of years, decided to get back into it, went back into it as an assistant. And then after my 2 years at Yoakum under Coach Mann, I decided to take this job here, and I think it's been a good decision as far as my career goes.
And I looked at the UIL site, Coach, and I could have missed something because I certainly missed the thing about the three-way tie in your district, but I couldn't find any time that Madisonville had been in the playoffs since 2012. So this would be the first time in 3 years, in a couple of years, that Madisonville's got in there. I mean, you got to feel great about getting in the playoffs.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I talked to my seniors, told me that they got fourth place as freshmen. And so they were in the playoffs their freshman year as a fourth place team.
Mm-hmm.
And so making the playoffs as seniors and also, you know, winning a district title, sharing it with Grosse Beck and Fairfield has been, you know, quite the accomplishment because, you know, a lot of times when you change over from one program to the next, there's somewhat of a transition period. And, you know, granted, there was a learning curve as far as me learning the girls and the girls learning my system. But as you can see, you know, things have worked out well for everyone involved.
Coach, tell us about your team. We're visiting with Madisonville softball coach Bo Dees, and his team's getting ready to play Lorena Friday night in the first round of the 4A state playoffs. Tell us about your team. Now, in case the Lorena people are listening to us on the internet, or they might listen later on the podcast, I'm not going to ask you to give away any secrets, but just general terms, tell us about the strengths. What is it about this team that in your first year there, and for the first time in 3 years, you guys were able to get in the playoffs and get a share of that district championship? How did y'all do that? Why is this team successful?
Well, you know, it involves the entire team, so it's really hard to, you know, single out one kid over another, you know, because they're equally important. But if I were to, you know, put my finger on one thing as far as what this team identifies with, it's probably 10 of the, at least two-thirds of the games we played, we've been behind at some point. And that just goes to show that these girls play the entire game, and they don't quit playing to the end. So as long as they're still an out, you know, or as long as there's still a swing left, these girls are still pushing and pressing and trying to win. And that's huge, especially with the teenagers in high school sports.
Now, Coach, you mentioned seniors, and it's hard, obviously. We don't have time on a 15-minute segment to go over an entire roster, but can you tell us how many seniors you've had? And I would think with them being there, they probably had to play a pretty key role in you coming in as a first-year coach and kind of establishing the way you want to do things. Tell me about that senior class.
Well, I have four seniors. I have Haley, Audrey, Mary Helen, and Ashley, and they all, you know, they all have different roles, you know, playing different positions. But the one thing I do have to say about those four guys is a lot of times when a new coach comes in, you know, you only have that senior class for 1 year. And, you know, from the beginning, these girls, you know, did their best to buy in and did their best to, you know, be good leaders and be a good example all that involved. You know, the only problem with them being seniors is I've had, you know, an enjoyable experience with them this year, and I just wish they could somewhere find that fifth year of eligibility.
You're going to try to get them a red shirt year, especially since you're in Madisonville. The red would work with the red and blue. You just got to get them a red shirt year. Coach, what do you know about Lorena? Have you seen them? Do you have a scouting report? Obviously, that's got to be a pretty good team if they're a two seed.
Well, absolutely. The team that won their district is Waco Robinson, and Waco Robinson has always been, you know, a traditionally a very good team. And, you know, and they're also a state-ranked team too. And so, you know, Robinson went 8-0 and Lorena went 6-2, and Lorena's only two district losses, you know, were to Robinson.
Right.
So, if you were to draw some ideas from that, you know, you could. But at the same time, they finished with the same district record as we did. And
right.
So, you know, you can look at it however you want to. As far as their strengths and their weaknesses, they've had the same coach for a while. And meeting him when we decided to flip for series and all that stuff, you know, he's very professional, very upfront, you know, straightforward guy. And so I expect to see a lot of what we do is a lot of what they do, you know, just blue-collar hard work, you know, getting after it, you know, just trying to win and putting your best effort forward.
Coach, do you guys have to flip about your playing one game? Sometimes people play best two of three series. Did you guys have to flip for that? Did y'all agree on that?
That's a funny story on that. Is we, Coach Dozell and I, we met in Franklin, and he wanted to do a series. I wanted to do one game. And so, you know, it's just when the two coaches don't agree on how to play it off, we flip. And so I had the coin in my pocket. I said, all right, you're heads and I'm tails. And whoever gets the flip, you know, we'll either do the one game or the series. So I flipped the coin. And I don't know if it was karma, you know, or whatever. But when that coin hit the grass, it stuck in the ground sideways. And so it didn't lay one way or the other.
Wow.
And so we actually had to flip it again. And so we walked over to the dirt and flipped it, and it was tails. And so we agreed to one game. Now, every coach's, you know, idea about, you know, whether to play one game or two out of three is different, because we're all have our own ideas about how we want things to go. But, you know, I won that flip, and, you know, the game is Friday at 6:30 in Franklin, and I'll take my chances on one game, and because I know my team can play well enough to win.
All right. Well, that's Madisonville softball coach Bo Deese being with us on a really busy week and a really busy day. The rains kept them from getting outside and working out, and they're going to start the playoffs on Friday at 6:30 against Lorena. That game will be in Franklin. Coach, thanks for your time. We wish you the best, and we'll keep up with you through the playoffs.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your time, too, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak on the radio.
Okay. All right, Aubrey, that's Madisonville softball. A lot of softball cranking up tomorrow. We need to mention, I guess, that A&M Consolidated and Bryan will both be playing best of three bi-district series. Both of those series will begin at home. Bryan's at home at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. A&M Consolidated is home at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Then they'll go play on Friday on the road against Hutto and Waco University. Got a couple other notes for you if you have time, Aubrey. We got an email a little while ago from the folks over at Allen Academy. You know, we had Dave Bliss on the radio after he decided to leave and go back into college coaching. Well, they have decided that Jason Jolly, their head football coach, is going to take over as the interim AD at Allen Academy. The thing that's really interesting, and maybe at some point we can get Jason or someone at Allen to be on the show or do a story to talk about the release that they did said he was going to be the interim AD, but they hope to have somebody hired by February of 2016. That's a long time, Aubrey. You could be qualified by then, you know.
Yeah, that's a ways.
So anyway, that's an interesting thing. I ought to mention we did quite a bit about the Bryan golf. We talked to David from the state tournament. We had Ron Newhouse on. It was a tough day for them yesterday, Aubrey. Just a crazy day. The second day of the state tournament, they had been tied for second after the opening day. Ended up finishing sixth, and it's still a great deal because they made a state tournament. I know they would have liked more, but it was a crazy day at the course. I talked to David throughout the day. The Vikings round lasted 7.5 hours. It was very windy. It was a difficult, hilly course, and with, I think, some of the young ladies playing in front of the guys really struggled, probably put some in the woods and in the creek like I would. And then on top of that, one of the Bryan players' moms had some heart concerns yesterday morning before they were to leave for the course. So you got that going on. Then there are two twin brothers on the team. Their grandmother was at the tournament, fell on the course and hit her head and had to be taken away by ambulance. They had to call the EMTs in, and you can imagine what kind of effect all that stuff had on the Vikings. And, you know, God bless those kids. They got to make it to state, but I can't imagine a crazier day than what they had on the second round of the state tournament. How do you do that? I mean, they played till it was dark. You know, they played 7.5 hours, jeez, which Primo and Richard could probably play 36 holes in 7.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then had the health things with their family. So bless their hearts. Congratulations that they made it to state. I just wanted to follow up on that because we had David on at the state tournament, and we had Coach Newhouse on as a guest. So next couple of days, we'll start cranking up the softball playoffs. And you know what? We got the state tennis tournament coming to the Mitchell Center in like a week and a half.
There you go. A lot going on. You'll hear about it every day on the High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer is proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break. We'll come back and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Howdy, Coach Gary Blair inviting you to a celebration dinner and auction presented by Mac Resource Computer on Thursday, May the 7th at the Expo Complex, benefiting Special Olympics and other charities. Doors open at 6 and $10 will get you dinner and drinks. Go to CoachBlairCharities.org for more. Special thanks to Mac Resource, Chili Fest, BB&T, Jack Hilliard Distributing, KBTX, and Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
Spring is here, and Rattlers has expanded once again to Greensbury Road at Arrington. To celebrate the new store and usher in spring, check out their specials all over the store. Any ice or fountain drink is only 50 cents with your Rattlers registered rewards card. Need a boost during the day? All regular 5-hour energy drinks, 2 for only $3. Thirsty after work? Pick up a 12-pack for only $10.99 from the fine family of beers from Bud, Miller, and Coors. Rattlers. Friendly. Clean. Texan.
Registration is underway for Lemonade Day, a nationwide event that teaches kids how to start and operate their own business through a lemonade stand. Registration is free. Participants will receive a free backpack filled with guides and goodies, plus the kids get to keep what they earn. Participants can also take part in free contests for a chance to win prizes. To learn more and to register, visit LemonadeDayBCS.com. That's LemonadeDayBCS.com.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com.
Walking, running, jumping, stretching, pulling, pushing. Any repetitive motion can cause wear and damage to your body. Using advanced diagnostic equipment and computerized technologies, the orthopedic sports medicine physicians and therapists at Scott & White Healthcare can treat all of your sports injuries, no matter how complex. Don't get sidelined by injuries. Pursue your passion in top form. Visit sportsmedicine.sw.org for more information.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Your homes for Aggie sports with football, basketball, baseball, and softball.
News Talk 1620 and Sports Radio 1150.
You wired me awake and hit me with a hand of broken nail. You tied my lead and pulled my chain to watch my blood begin to boil. But I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my. Gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my. Gonna break my rusty cage and run.
Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Robert Bloom, Kelly Brown. Also, when that song was gonna be a song from Seal, given what I assume you're here to tell us.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good idea.
I assume that's what you're leading in with today.
Well,
SEAL news.
The SEAL news. The Regents did vote in favor of altering the system and the Texas A&M flagship school seal from the T-Star logo that's on most of our diplomas to the Block T logo.
Well, theoretically on all of our diplomas.
Right.
So
good
far.
Point. Well, yeah. Except for yours, it has crayon on it.
Until
but,
a little bit from now.
Yeah. So it's happening.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And it was on the consent agenda, and it passed unanimously. So they didn't even discuss it.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I think there's bigger things to worry about. I'm sure people
well,
have...
Well, sure. I mean, world hunger,
yeah,
world peace,
what,
things like that.
Well, that's kind of my thought. I'm sure some people have some hot opinions on this.
I'm going to start saying that when football season comes around, too. I'm
well,
sure there's pretty much bigger things in the world to
well,
worry
that's
about.
Kind of the same thing. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that have some real hard opinions about this. And
they do. You started following the Eagle on Twitter today.
Well, it's because I have two accounts, and I can see it on one,
okay.
But now I can see it on both.
Okay.
So
well, if you have seen the response, it's overwhelmingly the vocal people out there. There's a lot of this you know, there's that alleged silent majority.
There's a silent majority that either don't really know what's happening or, quite frankly, don't really care mm-hmm. that much.
But the people who do, the people who are weighing in on social media are overwhelmingly against this modernized logo. I wish they could have just done, you know, touched up the star a bit and
yeah,
left it. Left
it's just, it seems like a thing to do just to do it. I mean, how often do we even use the seal? It's on the floor of the academic building in the coldest building, and it's on everyone's diploma. But it's not.
So
like,
how often do we use it?
But it's not
exactly.
a thing that you see. It's not like on the helmets. It's not, you know. It just seems like a thing to do just to do it.
I'm
going to
go on with the news because
yeah.
nobody cares about your opinion. I'm just kidding. They do. Okay, so A&M's in the news a lot today, and they will be on TheEagle.com and, of course, MiamiNation.com. St. Joseph, the local largest hospital in the region, they, along with the Texas A&M Health Science Center, they announced plans this year to break ground on a $10 million health and wellness center for senior citizens. That's where you can put me in a few years. The development's going to be located in Traditions near the future 154 apartment park community, and it's going to have a pool and a gym, as well as 9 healthcare providers for seniors in the area right there. So I think that they have targeted, hey, there's a lot of Aggies coming home to roost. They might have some money in their back pockets, and let's give them a home that they would like, as well as healthcare right there. So
yeah, there you go. Good for everybody.
Also happening right now, Reveille. It's a retirement party. It's from 4 to 6 at the Alumni Center.
So it's not so, quite happening. You can go on, still time. If you're on the way, you're
yeah,
not late.
Yeah, it goes on till 6. So if
yeah.
you want to go get your picture taken or go, you know, chat it up with Rev, now's your opportunity. Okay.
She might not say a lot back, mm-hmm. but...
University officials are expected to give remarks, though. So I feel bad for the cadet that has to say goodbye to her.
Is there like a Reveille rating system? Do we get to like break it down now that it's officially over? Do we get to do a power ranking of where Reveille 8 falls tomorrow on the all-time Reveille's?
You can probably to do that.
We'll get everyone in the newsroom to vote, and we'll bring that to you tomorrow.
I think you should only vote if you have, you know...
Contact?
If you have researched all of them.
No, I don't think so.
You can't just go, I like the first one the most because it was the original.
No, that's fine.
Or I like...
That's how polls work.
The latest
no,
because
you don't have to be informed.
She was a princess. I got to tell you, the new one's beautiful. The old one's beautiful. I'm digging it. We also have...
That's good.
I know.
By the way, someone did text in.
You interrupted.
That they said they should have left the seal because it looked more professional and regal. I do sort of agree that the old one looked a little more...
Classy.
Yeah.
We'll
that's a good word to use.
Ron Burgundy.
Professional is good. The
yeah.
new one just looks... It just looks kind of odd, the beveled ATM with the ring thing around it.
Right.
I don't know what that's
I just
called.
Associate it with athletics, which there's not anything
yeah.
wrong with that.
Yeah, well, it's
but
fine.
The seal just seems a little bit more presidential.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I like
all
the
right.
professional word as well.
But someone texted someone. Thought we'd get to that. Moving on.
Thank you for texting. Well, moving on. We have a lot more on A&M. So Sam's at the Regents meeting now. They're going to consider approving more than $20 million in infrastructure upgrades. So check with MiamiNation.com, and you can read all about a new center for epigenetics and disease prevention. These are just a few of the things that will
wow.
be newsworthy.
Cool. Go check that out. TheEagle.com, MyAggieNation.com. Lots of great stuff. We will be back tomorrow. It is finally draft day. So we'll be talking all about it. Got some special guests coming on for the draft.
It'll be a fun day.
No. Why did you not get people's hopes up? Now it'll be a fun day on the show tomorrow. Chips up next. This has been Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Join the Eagle crew. Aubrey, Cease, Rich, Josh, David, Larry, and Primo on Aggie Nation. Brought to you by MSC Opus. Afternoons 2 to 4 on KZNE and KNDE HD3. College Station Bryan.
Flag.
I'm Rich Ackerman. This report is brought to you by Golfsmith. People that would do anything for golf deserve